Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up with Julie Hayden, me, and Chuck Bonnywell. Chuck is wrapping something up upstairs in our world headquarters and is about to make his way down, so he'll be here momentarily. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. A lot of stuff to talk about today, as always. Rich Wyatt's going to be joining the show here sometime, you know, within the next half hour to talk about sort of a developing story about the Colorado Republican Party, and not in a good way regarding Britta Horn, the chairperson. We've talked at length about the disaster that is her chairmanship. And now there is talk, rumors, but strong rumors that she has taken out a secret loan, that her fundraising efforts are so abysmal that there basically is no money left. She's already left the party hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt over legal fees that she owes her personal attorney, Steve Klenda. And now on top of that, then, apparently, at least allegedly, she's taken out a secret loan in order to pay her executive director, administrative costs. A lot of questions about that. We're hopeful tomorrow night, Thursday night, there is a state executive committee meeting. That's sort of the, I guess I would call it like 25 members or so, inner working circle of the Colorado Republican Party. And hopefully someone on there will ask her about that. But we'll bring Rich on to talk about it. He's the chair of the Jefferson County Republican Party. And he has talked about the fact that fundraising statewide has come to a halt under Britta Horn's leadership. She's just such a bad leader. She's been abandoned pretty much by everybody who supported her. Thank you, elected officials like Lauren Boebert, Barb Kirkmeyer, Gabe Evans, Hurd, and Crank, who helped bring her into office. Where are you guys now, right? Now that she's kind of like driven the Colorado Republican Party into the dirt, it's like, oh, well, never mind. See you. We have Americans for Prosperity on our side, so we don't need the Colorado Republican Party. Anyway, we'll be talking about that when we get Rich on, because I think Rich, as a county chair, it's kind of thing that affects not just party finances, but if it affects, you know, the counties, it affects the individual candidates. Another thing that's happening, as far as we know, she has no money for a state assembly or caucus. So if you're a candidate, I've heard that Hope Shepelman, Chuck, is saying, hey, what's up with this, right? It's like, as a candidate, we need to know what's going on. Oh, and I see we do have Rich Wyatt with this. Okay, Rich, so let me just have you jump in. So as I said, we've been hearing these rumors, and I think it's fair to say they're strong rumors, that Britta has taken out a secret loan because there's no money and she has to pay Alec. We don't know what the money's going for, but to me, there are so many questions about this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've heard this same rumor through you guys that there's a loan that's been secured by Britta Horn. And the first question that pops up is, who'd be stupid enough to lend Britta Horn money?
Maybe I can borrow some too.
You stole my line, Chuck. I was going to get their number and see if I could borrow some money. Because I quite frankly am judgment proof, so I'd love a nice fat loan. Because the state party has no assets. The only assets she had was the offices, and she gave away the furniture because she's just destroyed everything. And, I know she's got to be in a terrible spot, because it must be horrible to just slowly and steadily alienate yourself from any human that's available on the planet. And that is what it appears to me she's done. She won't return my calls. I'm the chair of Jefferson County. She talked about unity, and all she's done is divided and separated, except for the three people that are being paid. This Alec, who hangs up the phone on me like I'm some kind of a moron. This Klenda, who I'm never speaking to him because he's a lawyer, and you know how I feel about that. And Britta Horn, who also won't return my calls. So the state party, I guess, just doesn't exist.
Well, and here's the thing. I want to know so many things. Like, number one, who gave it to her? Because it wasn't a bank. A bank, like you said, there are no assets. So it's not coming from a bank. Number two is, how much is it for? What's it going to? I mean, apparently, we've heard
it's salary. She has to have somebody. She has nobody to tell to do things. You know,
well,
she comes up and says she can't do anything herself. She says, Alex, you know, answer the phone or something.
Because they hang up on people.
Yeah, and hanging up.
You know what? Rick for me.
You know what? It's ridiculous. Listen, leaders grow and develop and become leaders, and they move things forward, and they get work done, and they accomplish goals and tasks, and they get other people to follow them. People that want to be leaders have to hire people to do what they say, and that's what Britt is. She's not a leader. She couldn't lead men to lunch, let alone into war or battle. She can't run a meeting. She can't raise funds. She can't publicly speak. She doesn't look good. I mean, she's basically a Shrek with a Bart Simpson hairdo. And I mean, I just don't even know. She doesn't have, to me, a redeeming quality left. And so I'm baffled. I didn't think she'd be this bad. I had no idea.
No. We did it.
We thought she would be unbelievably awful, but not this bad.
Well,
I mean, it's. I mean, you could. I'm willing to put her up against any party
makes,
chair.
It's KBB look good. Yeah, she makes Ryan Call look good. You know.
Yes, Ryan, and he's a midget. No.
He's a Democrat. Well, here's some other questions that I want to know about the loan. What are the terms? In other words, did she, because we know she's enriching her lawyer, Clenda, by filing all these lawsuits.
Maybe she borrowed it from Clenda.
Is the party going to go interest on it? And if she can't raise the money in the first place, how does she think she's going to repay this loan? So, I mean, this is the party's debt, right? This is not her debt. So she could happily leave, and whoever becomes chair has this, who knows how much loan is due. I mean, I think she owes it to the party to at least answer these questions and say, you know, what is going on with this loan?
You're 100% right. One of her friends that she had that she embraced, it was, you know, heavily involved in getting her into being the chair, is my dear friend Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And she was the chair of Jefferson County. And of course, she never said this and never told us this, but she left us with debt. I am still being threatened with lawsuits to this day over debt that she incurred that she swears she doesn't owe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those two just separated the sheets, Britta and Nancy, over a little issue of Nancy's late night, possibly intoxicated text email messages. And, you know, it just goes back to the saying that John Wayne said the best, you can't fix stupid. And, you know, they do owe us these answers. We are on the State Central Committee. She is the executive director. She is the chair that we elected to represent us.
No. I refuse to say I elected her.
Yeah.
Now, I may have voted against her.
Well, Chuck, I didn't elect her either, but the committee that we sit on elected her. Can I say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so as members of that committee, as voting members of that committee, she owes us to tell us what's going on. I was adversarial with Dave Williams when he started out here, and he at least gave me the courtesy, even though we never agreed, of returning my calls and fighting it out, right? And getting down in the weeds and going at it. And he did it. And I'm proud of him for that. And that's why I would honor him now, because he's a man. And, you know, they talk about, all these people talk about is Dave Williams did this, Dave Williams did that. Yeah, Dave Williams raised money. Dave Williams ran meetings. Dave Williams progressed the party forward. And Dave Williams got a job with the Trump administration in Washington, D.C. Britta could not get a job greeting people at the Walmart after her performance.
As
you point out, it's like we don't work for her. And it'd be sort of like, and tell me if I'm wrong, you guys are maybe more business oriented than me, but it'd be as if there was a board of directors and I'm the CEO, but as a CEO, I still answer to the board. But as a CEO, I was just running around taking out loans to pay for God knows what and refusing to answer questions from the board. And they said, well, you know, Julie, what's a loan for? How are we going to pay it back? Tell us about it. And I just hung up.
There's a reason why the structure, which is really come up with in the late 19th century, was adopted by the Soviet Union. She does not report to the state executive committee, and it's an amazing process. Of what, if any, accountability there really is.
Is there anything we can do?
Well, yes, 100%.
Okay.
The board can vote her out.
Okay.
The board can remove her.
Well,
or the board, so to speak. Okay. But the committee can vote her out. And even the people that supported her, I don't know any of them that still do.
I would agree with you. I mean, we've been hearing through the grapevine that she doesn't really have, she doesn't even have an inner circle anymore. She has, I don't know, when you divide a piece of the pie up, she's got like two people. People have her inner circle and the people she was closest to. And we've been hearing over and over again, number one, nobody's coming to her defense on this anymore. And people are speaking out saying, you know, we had her, the first vice chair say, all she tried to do was order me around and tell me what I could and couldn't do. And, you know, I don't need that.
Well, listen, next Thursday, I saw evidence of this when I was at the Denny's out there in McCoy. It had down Brita, reservation for one on Thanksgiving.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think this is broader than just sort of like a whining about Brita Horn.
Actually, and she wanted it on the house.
Yeah. She took that alone. So as a chair of Jefferson County, I mean, how does this impact? You've got a Republican Party to run in Jefferson County.
Caucuses to run.
How does this impact your fundraising and what you're trying to do?
It's very negative. Number one, we need insurance and indemnify the people that are going to go to the caucuses so we don't get in any trouble with ADA violations and get lawsuits against us. Everybody here is volunteer. Unlike the state, we don't get paid. I don't get 90 grand. I don't get $9 a year in order to, it costs me money to be the chair, right? And so we have volunteers that are working very hard and we're prepared to move forward with these things, but we can't do it because the state party is behind the power curve. We don't even, she doesn't have the financial ability, in my opinion, in order to run the assembly, because she has to rent a facility that's going to hold somewhere around 6,000 people. And that's, nobody's giving you that for free. That's not happening. Okay. Unless we have it at the Clenda Horn Ranch out in McCoy or something. But bottom line is we don't have the ability to do that. So we're not sure that she's able to perform just the perfunctory duties that she's responsible to do. She doesn't look like she's ever taken any action to move forward on any of these things. We don't have any, all the only communications we got are, aren't I great? Send me some money. Isn't this going to be a problem? Send me some money. And don't believe what you heard because it's not true. But I'm going to tell you this. We know what we know. We know that she told the court in a signed affidavit that she had a vote at her meeting and was told that she could keep Clenda. And that's what we call a lie.
Right.
Then she reformed that and came up with some other pie in the sky idea. Like, I saw a UFO and people came out and this is what they told me to say. And no judge is going to believe this ongoing lie. And I was at the meeting and you guys were at the meeting.
Right.
And we have a video recording of the meeting where she said it passed.
Right.
Now she says,
I don't believe I recall.
Yeah.
That's the information of, I don't believe I recall.
You know, and you know, Chuck, I'm not the smartest guy you ever met, but when somebody shows me a video of what I said, I try to watch it before I comment on it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, too. So in the meantime, though, Kanda continues to file motion after motion after motion, racking up, you know, we're being told over $200,000 with the legal bills now.
Is that right? 200 grand?
That's what I'm hearing. And wow. I mean, it's probably on the low side. And in the meantime, though, I would think that to me, it seems like
how many years will it take to work that off?
Well, he was fired, right? The party shouldn't have to pay anything that happened after he was fired.
He needs to.
Well, Julie, I'll take it one step further. I think it's inappropriate for him to be the counsel. He was the counsel that represented Britta when she was on the other side of the party. Right. And I don't think it's, I'm not a lawyer like Chuck is, but I don't think it's appropriate for a lawyer to come in and dismiss a case against himself.
Yeah. It's kind
we're
of,
not playing by the normal rules.
It's not the Britta rules.
It's the Britta
yeah.
Okay.
So the only thing I could assume with this loan is that her family, her husband, who I've never met, and I've only seen pictures of him, and he looks like a salt of the earth guy, that he maybe lent her the money, you know?
And I've got to wonder, is that even legal? I mean, to me, it seems like, I mean, this is campaign money. I mean, this is political money, right? It's not there. I got to wonder if there are rules about that.
There are rules that would affect normal people. but you know, the bottom line is,
of being normal. In fact,
it's definitely, as Chuck would understand, it's not an arm's length transaction. So getting that money back would be difficult. And I don't even think that Klenda would have a leg to stand on, as you mentioned, Julie, to get the money back, because the board, the committee, whatever you want to call it, voted, you're gone.
Right.
And she said, her words were, it passed. Now she's trying to say that was a question, not a statement. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, and let me go back to this whole caucus thing, because I want folks to understand it. The main way that Republicans, and this is like what it's all about, the party's all about, you have caucuses where neighbors get together, they elect delegates who support candidates who then go to the state assembly where they select, and you can petition on too, but where you select candidates to run for office. That all right. takes time. So you have to have, you as a county person have to be planning your caucuses, I would assume, kind of starting around now. But how yes. do you do that? Like you said, are they going to be over this ADA stuff? How do you do that when you have no idea what's going on with the assembly? You don't even know how many delegates. She hasn't told anybody how many delegates do you even get, right?
Right. Well, from what I'm told by the election committee, that this year, Jefferson County was the highest Republican voting county in the state. And we're very proud of that. Okay. So we should be getting some attention if that's the level that we're at. And right. even if we argued it and said we were first, second, or third, we're in the top three. And so of the large counties. And so we don't have the ability. One of the questions we have is, how much do we charge a person at the caucus, which is where they pay the fee, so they can be a delegate to the state? Because the state has to tell us, we need $29.95 so you can come down and attend this thing at the Broadmoor Arena or at the Pueblo County Fairgrounds or, you know, wherever she's going to, you know. And I'm sure we'll get a notice from her that says we're going to be in the parking lot of the Super Walmart in
right.
Aurora,
right.
you know, but it's from midnight to 4 a.m. because that's when they're closed. And, you know, we got to get out of there before the cops show up. As remember last meeting we had, she so inappropriately scheduled it. The cops literally came in and threw us out. It was
exactly.
embarrassing to see the police take this.
Along with Sheriff Ring.
Yeah. Well, along with this. Yeah. So what do you say to your candidate? Because I know if I'm a candidate, I need to, I mean, and particularly if I'm a candidate who is not planning to petition onto the ballot, I need to start getting, I mean, this is, before we know it, it's going to be February and March, right? I need to start knowing who are the delegates, how many delegates are there, who do I need to reach out to? I mean, if I'm a candidate, I mean, if she screws up the assembly, I mean, I could easily see that happen because there's not a lot of time to start getting that set up. Even if we get rid of her, we're starting to run out of time. And so if you're a candidate like, say, a Scott Bottoms or Hope Shepelman who wants to go through the assembly process, what do you do if there is no assembly?
I don't know. No, this is one. And we still are not clear on the assembly voted at over 90% that we were to opt out right. of this ridiculous open primary system. And, you know, Britta has options on the table that she could exercise. I know this for a fact that they were presented. These options were presented to her staff and that she could exercise, which would make this all come together. But she refuses to participate and actively involve herself in a situation that could make herself look good because she's so busy thinking she's the smartest person on the planet. And right. this is the demise. I've never seen something this outrageous. And I hate to say this, but your audience knows you and knows me. And Weston Eimer could do a better job than Britta Horn.
anyone, our dog Tiger could do a better job than
yeah,
Britta
yeah.
Horn, right? I mean, Tiger doesn't return phone calls either, you know?
Yeah,
he's a dog. It's like,
yeah.
Do this exercise, mental exercise for me. Britta says, fine, I quit. Who would take the job?
I couldn't tell anybody to do it. It's just, I'm not that mean to people. I don't know who would take the job. I guess I would hope that the vice chair would step up, Richard Holtorf, and take over. And I'm confident that he would do a much better job than Britta Horn would have done. I wish at that last assembly, people like Lauren Boebert hadn't run around and made sure that Britta got elected. She single-handedly took charge of that. I watched the operation,
right.
and she was a pit bull at it.
That's
and
she the put, answer.
Make,
that's what, what's that?
Make chair. No.
Make Lauren Boebert the chair. I mean, what's it? Ken Buck did it. Ken
yeah.
Buck did it. Make Lauren Boebert pay for what she's done.
I love it, Chuck. I literally love that. I literally love that.
You know, I agree with you, though. Richard Holtorf, and we've talked about this before, we have not always been, I think it's fair to say, Richard Holtorf fans. But from what I've seen from him, he has been fair. He's been open-minded. He's been willing to listen. As I understand it, he actually returns phone calls. And, you know, we don't have to always agree on things. But like you said, like with you and Dave Williams, right? At least he listened. At least he heard. And he seems capable of actually doing something. So that's the biggest
he
thing.
He is. And listen, I got to tell you, Russ Andrews has done a good job, the secretary. Quite frankly, in Jefferson County, I'm the chair, Jackie Schroeder's the vice chair, and Ronnie Newvin is the secretary. And I would have zero chance of success without those two ladies helping me. And so it's always got to be a team effort. And there's a lot of other people. My bylaws committee, you know, Sean Haggerty, James Peabody, Tim Leonard, Laura, and Fred Clifford have done an excellent, excellent job and put out a tremendous amount of work. I could have never done what they did. And so the problem with Britta is she's not a uniter. She's not even a divider. She's a hermit living under a bridge somewhere. Maybe it's the bridge where Hope was going to have that meeting, and she's staying under there, and she's waiting for Hope to swing by and bring her a sandwich or something. But, you know, she turned into an ogre, and she's just gone away and hidden in a cave.
Let me ask you sort of a final question before we let you go. I mean, where does the Republican Party go? Because, I mean, this is it is dire straits right now. We're starting to run out of, particularly given the caucus assembly, the financial situation.
This ADA thing is just a – an enormous. I mean, the idea that the party will
individual precinct captains can be sued.
Yeah, and they're going to insure you. The party will insure you
with what?
I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say, Chuck and Julie. I'm going to say this. I hope and I pray that today Britta picks up the phone and calls the people that are trying to help her get this across the finish line. And she unites with her own staff and with people that she considers her enemies, like myself, and that she moves forward and she lets us help her get the job done in order to do good for the party. Just like I said at that meeting, we must come together and stand together behind the Republican Party if we are to succeed. The Democrats do it. We should waste this time fighting Democrats, not fighting other Republicans. And as long as we keep doing this, we will never succeed. We have a critical race in 26 coming up to make sure that Trump keeps the House and the Senate. We have a governor's race that's coming up that is very important. We have candidates out there that could win this race, and I would like to see it done. And if we don't come together, it'll never happen. And that will be Britta Horn's legacy unless she throws her pride out the window and picks up the phone and calls and says, I need help.
Yeah. All right, Rich. Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You're coming on.
Good job out there in Jefferson County, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Have a great day, guys. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Good to see you.
Rich Wyatt there with the Jefferson County Republican Party chair. I'm talking about this talk about Britta Horn taking out a secret loan because the party has no money to continue. I mean, to me, the biggest thing is if you don't have enough money to pay your staff, you know, then you furlough the staff, right? And you cut the costs. Now, let me read some comments from Johnny. Will the Saturday meeting be happening? We will be holding an election for the chair of the Denver County Republican Party on Saturday, November 22nd, as indicated below. Three candidates have declared their intention to run: Hugo Chavez Ray, Tim Cranston, Ashley Troxell. I know Hugo, like him. I want to run for HD5, but will there be a Colorado GOP with all this stuff happening? Exactly. And then this is good, Johnny. Maybe we can get some money from Epstein, like Akeem Jeffries, or maybe not.
And well, let's give it a shot. You know, I mean,
since Akeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer will be looking for a job soon, maybe one of them could help the GOP. LOL. You know, and on that, did you see Akeem Jeffries is now saying, hey, I don't remember actually sending any email to Jeffrey Epstein. No, I didn't know him.
Epstein.
Never met him. Never, Jeffrey.
How did he spell that?
It rings a bell. They never
spell it.
That's kind of funny. Well, did you want to talk about the Thomas Crook situation, kind of shifting gears?
Well, I want to talk for a second more while I bring up something with regards to that.
Oh, okay. Well, can I introduce it then? Or
sure.
Okay. So Thomas Crook, the guy who was killed after he took a shot and tried to assassinate Donald Trump. And we all know, I mean, no surprise under Christopher Wray in the Biden administration, they're like, oh, nope, never heard of him. I mean, the whole thing was a complete debacle, right? It couldn't have gone worse from the video of the Secret Service agent not even being able to handle her weapon appropriately.
The overweight female.
To the missing, you know, they're not knowing how to work their drone, to seeing him. I mean, the whole thing couldn't have gone worse. And then they said, well, he had no online presence. And then it all just kind of went away. And I'm sure you've heard sort of the furor. First Tucker Carlson and now Miranda Devine, both of whom apparently have the same source, have been able to come up with years worth of an intense social media presence where initially, and Ray and the Biden administration tried to make it sound like, oh, well, he was a Trump supporter. It's like, yeah, right. That's why he tried to shoot him. You know, they came up with, you know, the social media accounts, which apparently weren't all that hard to find. What they found is he had a huge social media presence for years, in which he talked a lot became very anti-Trump, talked a lot about violence against political figures. And the FBI is like, gee, you know, who knew? Here's my question about it, and we've talked about this, and I'll let you read your thing. I'm not surprised that the Christopher Wray Biden administration lied about what's going on with Thomas Crook. And it wouldn't even really surprise me, frankly, if the FBI was completely incompetent and actually didn't know about the social media presence because they had never heard
of it. Well, let me read to you what Cash Patel said.
Okay, let me just finish my thought, and then we'll go into this. What I don't get is Cash Patel's reaction. Cash Patel is sort of like siding with the Biden administration. And, you know, I mean, maybe Charlene, one of our listeners, always talks about Cash Patel. And you know, Charlene may be onto something there.
Well, like Charlene, I'm a big Cash Patel, you know, supporter. And I was thrilled in his FBI head. And he wrote a whole book about the malfeasance of the FBI and how it all cleared out. But with regard to Thomas Crooks, he stated there are over 480 FBI employees were involved in the investigation of Thomas Crooks, conducting more than 1,000 interviews, analyzing data from 13 seized digital devices, reviewing nearly 500,000 digital files, and examining 25 social media or online forum accounts linked to Crooks. The investigation included that Crooks had limited online and in-person interactions and did not share his intent with anyone. I mean, this is insanity.
I mean, it's a lie. I mean, no, it would be, and that's why.
Well, maybe it's not a lie, which is more, what were these people doing with their 500,000 digital files?
Yeah, but if he had no presence, where'd he get it? But with the 500,000 digital files, if he had no, so you said he had 25 social media accounts that they looked at?
Well, they looked, well, the 55, 25 social media or online forum accounts linked to.
Well, so that's—I mean, if you were to get me, that'd be like three. Do you know what I mean? It's like 25, and looking at those 25, they didn't see.
But after that, they said nothing to see here, okay. Folks. Now, how can you do that? And then you have, you know, Tucker has him, you know, dry shooting.
Yeah,
his pistol on YouTube and his fans' house. He's got all this stuff, and Miranda Devine says he's part of the furry community. I mean, this furry community, we got to join the furry community.
No, they're jobs.
Well, everybody, well, yeah, they're, that's not an honest. But I mean, this is insanity.
Well, here's
and then they're saying, we don't know. I mean, they can't say we spent this enormous effort by the FBI and we came up with nothing. And then Tucker Carlson and Miranda Vine says, well, we have a
couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, here's everything.
Well, here's
and they haven't responded. Oh, we never said nothing. That's a lie.
Well,
it's a lie. We never said we said limited. We said
here's
limited.
What I don't get. Does anyone, I mean, I have no trouble believing that under the Biden administration, the FBI would lie about that. They found nothing of Hunter Biden. They found nothing on Hillary Clinton's emails.
Yeah, right? That's right. No reason
to prosecute. You know, the Democrat FBI, you know,
well,
lies.
Just crooked as anybody.
What I don't understand, this is what I would like to hear from Kash Patel, is be like, oh, gee, I didn't realize. You know, now that I do, I'm looking into that to see, number one,
I'm firing a couple people here and there.
Everybody, it's like I don't understand, and I guess I have two theories on this, why Kash Patel is continuing to defend the FBI in the face of overwhelming evidence that either they were incompetent or they lied.
Not just sort of incompetent, not just a little, not typical cop incompetent, but world class, you know,
missing on YouTube. I mean,
Mission Impossible.
They were able to use like facial recognition technology to find grandmothers in Anchorage, Alaska, who might have been somewhere near Washington, D.C. on January
5th. Yeah, yeah, and only right. Jail them in hellholes in Washington, D.C.
Think how hard would it be to run Crooks facial recognition tech? I mean, we know the FBI. Intentionally screwed up that investigation under the Biden administration.
Which one?
Under the Crooks investigation.
Well, that one.
Under Biden.
Unlike the Las Vegas killer.
I don't
killer.
Understand why.
Unlike the North Carolina golf course shooting guy.
But I don't understand why Kash Patel is defending it.
He's killing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would be out calling a press conference. And get, you know, hire, you know, 480 FBI agents and say, hey, guys, what do you think we ought to say?
Should we say,
hey, this is great stuff. Hey, we didn't find this before. Thank you.
Right.
What do you say? This is not real. This is a Republican smear job, and we all know Tucker.
Well, let's keep going.
And Miranda Devine. I mean, that's
nothing else. You could just look at their stories. Keep in mind. So, not only was Trump nearly assassinated, but that firefighter died. So there was a murder here, right?
Oh, Campari, yeah.
It's like so you can't just. I mean, you just people deserve.
And his widows asked for better explanation. Oh, we'll give you everything we have. There were two Republican congressmen who said we'd requested the stuff. Senator Ron Johnson said. He requested the stuff, and the FBI had just utterly stonewalled it.
And so,
I mean, so there is no explanation. There isn't. I mean, either the whole thing is so rotten that Kash Patel can't kind of get his way through the quagmire, or Kash has been, they got pictures of him in a furry deal, or something. I mean, there's got to be, and every day that goes by, it's just one more day. You can't trust anything the government.
That must be so hard to
And I think so. You're right. And I don't know. Is it so rotten that, I mean, because Kash Patel, I get it. He has to be arresting bad guys. The FBI has other things they do. And is it just so rotten that if he does, but even if it is so rotten, that he just needs to get rid of them all. He needs to say, okay. I mean, because it's not like there isn't local law enforcement that can handle things. He could say,
we're just getting rid of all of them.
Realize that you can trust no one in the FBI. So,
yeah, I mean,
so they're all fired.
All these people are hired either under Comey or Mueller, and every one of you pieces of human garbage are done.
Oh, I wonder if he has fallen into the trap of, you know, he's trying to protect the institution. But I think...
Oh, this is a good way of doing that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And
yeah, the institution looks so good.
It's like he forgets that the complete... Every time this happens, the trust falls apart even more. And the only way to get it back is to... I mean, is for him to say...
They knock on the door upstairs and say, can we talk to you? No.
Well, oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, there is really no explanation. And you got to wonder at a certain point, I mean, Trump, granted, has 8 million things on his desk, but you got to think, I mean, they did try to
assassinate him. Well, he's only got shots. I think he had some vague interest in it.
At a certain point, he's going to have to say to Cash.
Well, Cash, hey, Cash.
Yeah. And what's done?
How's everything going?
I mean, I don't know.
Going down. What are you guys doing? You're doing a podcast somewhere or something?
I was hopeful when they came in, but, you know. But
I still like him, but I just...
It's baffling. You're absolutely right. It's baffling why he's handling it the way he is and why he's... I don't know. And it might be just there's no one there.
Did Jacob want to say something? I heard a peep up there.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Hi. Hey, can I just interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
I don't think this is a big deal. What I think is a big deal are three senators telling the army and the military to stand down.
Yes.
Okay. They must have a gun to their head.
Right.
For the same reason that Sheinbaum won't allow Trump into Mexico.
Right.
You know, these ships.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the moon guy, you know, the astronaut in Arizona.
Right.
They put out a commercial yesterday telling the military to stand down, not to listen to Trump, the commander-in-chief.
Right.
That's
right.
What happened.
Right.
I just want to say this. I think that there's a gun to their head from the cartels, because these hits on these boats, the narco boats.
Yeah.
I think they're doing well. They're very successful, and the narco people are not making money right now.
That's a good point, Jacob. It's like, yeah, why would they do that?
I guess I disagree. I mean, there are a billion ways to bring in fentanyl. And you don't need high-speed six-person boats. You can bring them in 1,000 different ways. I also don't
care. They could.
And right. I don't get how a president can just say, be judge, jury, and executioner, and say, hey, them, kill them. I don't think he has that authority of just ordering the death of lots of people based on, oh, yeah, well, they're in international waters. You know, why not kill them? I mean, you know, some authorization from I mean, I'm all for 98% of what Trump does, but that one is, if, you know, you give that power to the president, and boy,
how is that different? If he's declared them terrorists and the enemy, how's that different from sending a drone strike on, you know, Osama bin Laden?
Well, he didn't send a drone strike.
Oh, but I mean, if he did.
Obama did on a U.S.
What I'm saying is though, the president has the authority to send, to authorize a drone strike.
He can declare, and you probably should declare, everybody but any Kennedy but RFK is narco-terrorists and call all of them. I just think.
But Jacob, you're right though. To back up though, I think it's outrageous that Congress, members of Congress, saying, and here's the thing, and it's not going to, it's just getting headlines for them, right? If you're a soldier, who are you going to listen to, Mark Kelly or the Commander in Chief? Mm-hmm. I mean,
the fact that they even open their mouths should tell you that they're worried about something.
Yeah,
I saw the movie Nuremberg the other night, and the first part of the interview with Goering was he said that they were going after the Weimar, the Nazi Party was going after the Weimar. Now I looked up the Weimar. The Weimar is like our Rainbow Coalition in the United States. Okay, it was the LGBTQ group. And Hitler said, let them run, and people will start running to the Nazi party. And that's what happened. And I look, I fast forward to today, and you have people in New York, and they're looking into this and said, well, if this isn't going to work out, we got to run to somebody. And they all ran to the new mayor in New York. And believe me, he's not pro rainbow coalition.
No. No.
They got a lot of high buildings in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of rainbow coalition people, so it'll work out well.
Thank you for chiming in as always. Appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah.
Good day. Yeah, obviously the Democrat Party, I think it's interesting, I talked a little bit about this last time, the Democrats, you know, calling somebody a socialist is no longer a bad thing, right? They like being called socialists. Real quick on the Epstein stuff, I think it is kind of interesting, like I was saying earlier, so I think Trump has like a rapid response team ready as they release documents and just put stuff out there about the Democrats, right? We had the one congresswoman who was, you know, texting back and forth with Epstein during congressional hearings while he's saying, here's what you need to ask to sink Trump. And then she comes up with lame excuses about that. Well, you know, sometimes constituents are criminals. It's like, what? You've got Hakeem Jeffries. This is after Epstein had served his time and was convicted, served his time and released. You've got Hakeem Jeffries soliciting money from him and saying, hey, I'll introduce you to Obama. And now Hakeem Jeffries today is saying, yeah, I don't remember that email. It's kind of like Britta Horn. I don't technically recall that. And I never met Epstein. Yeah, so he just took his money.
I don't know who he is. And if I met him, I wouldn't recognize.
Not, you know, they looked at his donations, like 89% of his Epstein donations went to Democrats. So I think Trump is going to be proven to be right on this one. But in the end, this is going to look a lot worse for the Democrats and him. But here's my prediction on that. You won't see that on MSNBC. You won't see it on ABC. They'll continue, you know, calling Trump a pedophile or things like that, completely unfounded. And then they'll move on to the next shiny
object. Well, what do you think? What is your view on Larry Summers?
Oh, what a... If it weren't so sort of creepy, it would be pathetic. So Larry Summers is Harvard guy, right?
Yeah. Fine.
I think he stepped down from AI or whatever that.
OpenAI.
I mean, he was like flying high, right? He was one of those elite Democrats. And in the meantime, he's pathetically texting Jeffrey Epstein on how to get horizontal with some math expert.
Well, here, just in case you guys haven't followed it closely. Larry Summers was president of Harvard University. He got dismissed when he said that maybe women didn't have the same aptitude for hard science, some women on average didn't have it as men, and that, you know, you can't say that. That's outside the Overton window. So he got fired from that. And since then, everybody felt sorry for him, and he's kind of made a comeback, and they had him on these committees. Back in 2019, when he was in his late 60s, middle of the late 60s, 67, 68, he met this woman who was a Chinese daughter of a high-ranking official in the Chinese army, government, and she was getting her PhD, got one from Harvard, and was teaching, I think, at some place, London School of Economics or something. And she was shining on to him. She was kind of, you know, hey, Larry, I love you. Yeah, well, she was doing it. You know, she was being very friendly, and I assume a little flirtatious. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know, kind of.
But he started then complaining.
So well, and so, you know, he wants more than flirtatious. You know,
he's married, by the way.
Yeah, he's been married since 2005.
Yeah, he's got a wife.
He's got a wife in theory.
Minor
little impediment. But he doesn't just want to be flirted with, because she wants to be able to say, oh, yeah, my friend Larry Summers, he reviewed my thesis here, and we're friends here. And Larry goes, well, what do I get out of all of this? And so he's asking Jeffrey Epstein, you know, for some kind of brotherly advice, right? Well, that is both pathetic and sad, but it isn't a crime against humanity. It really isn't. If it was anybody but Jeffrey Epstein, everybody kind of go, that's pathetic,
well,
Larry.
Understood. I mean, yeah, he's first. I mean,
but it's pathetic, Larry. But instead, it's Jeffrey Epstein. So now he is just flailing himself. I apologize. I withdraw.
He should yell at all the Democrats who wanted to release it. Oh, awesome. Well, this is funny. So the Clintons have been subpoenaed by a House subcommittee over the whole thing, and they're so far refusing to show up. And Comer today said, and I hope he follows through, he said, hey, if they continue to refuse to show up, we'll give them the Bannon treatment, right? If they ignore the subpoena. So that'll be interesting to see. So, you know, my guess is the Democrats really fairly quickly are going to drop the whole Larry. I mean, right now, who's the guy, Norm Eisen, and who are the, you know, the lawfare think tank guys.
Norm Eisen.
Yeah, I think they're all kind of frantically looking to find some other new shiny object that they can throw at people, so the media, so they can go away from the Epstein thing. They tried it, you know, and here's the thing, it worked for a while. And Trump, I think, wisely said, okay, fine, you know, release the stupid files, right? So then we can all do this and move on. Oh, and by the way, I think it's going to make the Democrats look bad. So who knows what it'll be? Bird flu, I mean, something. Rest assured.
Let's go into our disagreement. I've been following...
Well, we don't have a lot of time.
Well, no. Alan Dershowitz. And he said, you know, he's around Epstein a lot. He's a lawyer. He said the guy would love to get massages 2 or 3 times a day. And he wanted to get it from different good-looking younger women in their 20s or something. That was his deal. He wasn't to get him for prostitution. Maybe toward the end he wanted happy releases or something. But they, when they line up all the victims, there are people who gave massages, to one massage in some cases, to Epstein, and were able to be in lawsuits and making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, look at these women!
Oh, I know.
They're they gave a massage to Jeffrey Epstein 20 years ago. We need to give them justice. And the guy will give back the money. We'll give you justice.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is, I think she's going to become, I was reading this somewhere, the next Liz Cheney. It's like, I don't know.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Liz Cheney.
Right. Taller. Or taller Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. She's going off the deep end there. So,
the whole thing is pathetic.
It is.
It reminds me of when back in the 90s when they said all these kids all of a sudden became bewitched and said, the teachers had done these voodoo things on them, and spaceships came down, and all the same characters that you know, the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, believe the children. They didn't indict these kindergarten teachers, and it's pathetic.
I think that, as in everything, there are many that are true, and those are horrific. And then there are many stories, you're right, there are people who manipulate it and take advantage of that. And the Epstein case, my feeling is, there's probably a little bit of both, right? We disagree on that. But on the other hand, though, I think that you're right. Many of the victims, as they call them, have done pretty well for themselves financially. On the other hand, Jeffrey Epstein seems kind of like a creepy guy. And I think the underlying thing is, even after he got out of jail, there were a ton of Democrats who had no problem hanging around with him, taking his money, asking his advice. Yeah. And so for them to be trying to, but it's typical Democrat, right? They accuse everyone else of doing what they did.
Right.
Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us today. We will have on Monday, I think there's a big Republican Party, the executive committee meeting
Thursday.
So I think we'll be able to have a report on
that.
And in the meantime, though, thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you to Rich Wyatt, the great guys at BBS, and we'll see you on Monday.
Take care, everyone.